flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Let me put this in capital letters. If I was in a college program, the college program would be a pipeline to the NFL for the players that had the ability to play in the NFL. It would be a professional program, training, nutrition, scheme, coaching, techniques that would transfer to the NFL. It would be an NFL program at a college level. And an education that would get the players ready for their career after football, whether that was the end of their college career or at the end of their pro career. But it would be, you know, geared toward, you know, developing the player, time management, you know, discipline, structure, and all that. That would be life skills, regardless of whether in the NFL or in somewhere in business. And you know, I feel very confident that I have the contacts in the National Football League to pave the way for those players that would have the ability to have the opportunity to compete in the National Football League. Whether they're good enough or not, I don't know, but they would be ready for it.
High noon here on Jones and Keith. That was Bill Belichick, tail end of our show yesterday on the McAfee Show. There's your pitch right there.
Oh, yeah.
How's he going to pitch himself to a university like North Carolina? That's how. You heard it.
Well, that's the clean pitch. That's the one where you're like, oh, how could you not take this guy?
Yep.
But then it's, I want $10 million. I want Bebop and Rocksteady to get $2 million each. Oh. I want like my son to be the coach after.
Yep.
I want to pay the players as much as Clemson and Florida State and Miami and all those and Alabama are paying.
Yep.
So you're like, well, wait a minute. Like, this sounded like a great idea. And they might still ultimately do it. Like, this is their decision. Like, you had Mack Brown 2.0 for the last however many years. Do you want to be a really serious college football program, or do you want to be another team in the ACC?
Yeah.
And they have a decision to make because Bill Belichick's not, you know, he's not talking to every single team in there. They have a chance to get this guy, change their whole organization or whole school for the next handful of years. Or maybe they go a little safer, and safer can also mean cheaper, and go a different route.
Yeah, it's all an indication that Bill may not get it. I mean, Bill still thinks he's Bill Belichick, hot commodity, highly wanted, highly sought after. A guy whose name still rings out, and it just may not the way he thinks it
does.
Yeah,
but if he's...
Where they're going to compensate him through the nose and put up with all of his cronies, and on top of that, you know, deal with all the other crap that comes along with Bill Belichick and his power and sticking his nose in on what he wants. He's not going to listen to anybody. It's all an indication Bill may not get it.
But he also, I think, has to have read the room a little bit to even talk to North Carolina. If he was just waiting for an NFL job at the end of the year, somebody else would have gone to North Carolina. He would have sat there and he would have been like, oh, crap, I have one interview again.
Apparently, he's still handing out the same 400-page organizational Bible, quote-unquote, from Ali Connolly.
It's worth a
college
shot.
Reporter. So, like, he's tailored...
It's like Robert handing out the dynasty to everybody. hey, take a look. Hey, read this.
UNC's
read,
like, read we this. Didn't need a second copy of this.
Like, we're good. We read it. We had somebody read it.
So I don't know how much he's changed anything. He's still handing out the same 400-page document, which I guess on the one hand, you could read
if the font's really big, maybe I could handle it. If it's small, that's 400
pages. I wouldn't read it. I mean, on the one hand, you could say it's very detail-oriented. On the other, like, chill out a little bit. Stick to your one-minute pitch there that you gave on McAfee. That's
pretty good. Yeah, that was pretty good.
So a couple of updates. And number one, Curran is going to join us at 12:30. You think it's possible Curran pushed this back because he's got a little something?
It's possible.
None of the local beat writers have anything on this built up. None of them.
Too
have
quiet?
Squat.
Are you saying too quiet?
Well, why is Curran going to move? The players are off. I mean, maybe he's on the golf course for all I know. Maybe he's got a workout. Yeah. I mean, maybe something came
polishing
up in life.
Off some D'Angelo subs, maybe.
He heard us talking up D'Angelo's subs. He's like, hang on, I gotta stop by my local D'Angelo.
Yeah.
But I wonder if he's got a little something on Bill, because he's pushed the interview back, which it's not the first time he's done that, but I wonder. I'm not telling you I know anything.
Something's
not telling you he knows anything.
Something's amiss.
But interesting. It's noteworthy none of the beat writers have anything on Bill to UNC. Nothing. So we got to rely on Ollie Conley, who again said
killing it.
Belichick has agreed to become the next UNC coach, but it's like, up to the trustees, the chancellor, the boosters, all these people at UNC. So effectively, the ball is in their court. There's one more update. This is from Jordan.
But it is a little misleading, because if you say he's agreed to the job, like, we don't know what
North Carolina offered the job.
Yeah, but North Carolina could have, let's say hypothetically, they were like, we pay our coaches $5 million, and he's like, I'll do it for $10.
Yeah, you've not agreed to the job. Correct.
Didn't really agree to the job.
Okay, Jordan Schultz, not Hudson. She's following.
This is really confusing. There's too many Jordan.
She's following a bunch of UNC accounts, right? That's the other update we had earlier.
Yeah. So basically confirming that he got the job.
Jordan Schultz, formerly of ESPN, an NFL insider, if you will. As of right now, there's no agreement between Bill Belichick and the University of North Carolina per multiple sources. Both sides have remained in contact and will continue to talk. Quote unquote, very fluid, one source said. Gross. But okay, still more to come. Maybe that's just, you know, classic territorial reporting. This person says it's done. It's actually not done. Maybe there's just some of that going on, or maybe one guy jumped the gun on it or has bad intel on it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm now wondering, Keith. I came in earlier convinced that Bill actually wanted the job, and I wasn't sure that UNC wants him, which I think still could be the case. They're like, well, we'd take Bill, but not with all this crap that comes along with it.
So you think he's saying all this stuff so he doesn't get
it? Well, I'm wondering. Like, a 400-page document where you got to hire Patricia and make his kid the coach in waiting and pay him a ton and pay Patricia a ton, probably pay his kid a ton, have a ridiculous budget.
It's a reverse Red Sox offering $700 million.
It is.
Knowing they won't get it, but like, I'm in it.
But in some ways it is. And it's like, have this ridiculous budget. And oh, wait, you brought this up, and I hadn't thought about it this way. And it's at a basketball school, and he wants a football job at a basketball school. Maybe he just knows it's the kind of place that's not going to throw that level of commitment
behind
football.
All the resources, really. I mean, you wouldn't think so. They've never really done it.
And so if this is Bill's way of trying to get the phone to ring from an NFL team, it's a little sad.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily going to work.
But I wonder, that was my instinct last week.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier today, I said, I think Bill really wants it. I wonder if they want him.
Yeah.
Now I wonder, is he pricing himself out intentionally, this whole dog and pony show,
to try
to drum up more interest in the NFL? I don't think it's going to work, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't think NFL teams want him. I think this is proof of it. But is that what he's trying to do?
Yeah, I don't really know what he's trying to do. I thought it was like a leverage thing. I thought it was both sides could sort of benefit from this, just getting their name and the school out there. I mean, yeah, we talked about North Carolina football specifically for Drake May, but the team was never very good. It was just they had a great prospect. For the previous 20 years prior to that, it was nothing. And then Julius Peppers, right? Like, it's not a football school at all. And now they're talking to one of the greatest NFL head coaches of all time. So I'm like, all right, maybe this could benefit both. And regardless of even this report, even taking this Ollie Conley guy at his word, and like that, this is like for real, Belichick himself confirmed that he talked to North Carolina, which you wouldn't normally do.
Nope.
And then he went on this whole thing, this pitch that we kind of played, where you're like, it made me sound like he wanted the job.
That's what I thought.
But what's funny is we won't really know the answer if he's just like asking for these crazy things and not expecting him to get them, and then be like, you know, my way or the highway. But what if North Carolina's like, we'll do it? And then he's like, give me another year. And you're like, wait, what? Like, We just said yes to all your nonsense. Like, if he keeps adding things on, then I think at that point you would know he's not serious. Otherwise, I'll say, hey, he just feels like this is what he needs to do to compete. He doesn't want to go to North Carolina and go 8-5.
Yeah.
He wants to go to North Carolina, get in the college football playoffs, and kind of go from there.
So here's what I'm not sure. I'm not sure about Bill's level of interest in the job. Does he really want it, or does he fake want it to try to drum up interest? I'm back to unsure about that. I'm pretty positive the NFL is showing him zero love right now and no interest. And I don't know how committed UNC is on their end. The ball's supposedly in their court, and they're balking at it. So, interesting.
So the NFL part of it, last year,
I just don't think he's the hot. I don't think he's the hot commodity we thought he was going to be.
He's not. I guess my question would be to anybody that thinks he is: why is his value higher this year than last year? Because he's 73 instead of 72. Like that would work against him. Like because
he was so young and cool on McAfee.
Yeah, like that's going to get you a head coaching job in the NFL.
That's what you hear some people saying.
Man,
yeah,
he's
staying
that.
Relevant and all these other
so
things.
I know
apparently
these guys,
that didn't work because he needs to flirt with the University of North Carolina.
I wonder if he's just – I wonder if the league thinks he's too old. It's not me saying that. I just wonder if the league views him as that because
– I view him that way. Don't you?
Yeah, I would only want him in certain spots. I wouldn't want him in a big turnaround. I would take him – if Dallas had – I thought Dallas was the spot. I thought if Dallas had Dak Prescott all year – and say they won 11 games and then lost in the wild card round, I would have been like, all right, you have a good team. All you have to do is coach. We're not asking to draft anybody. We've drafted well enough without you. You just needed to take this team, a Mike McCarthy coach team, and coach them a little bit better. But I don't even think that's really much of a reality. I just think you saw Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick last year both get fired. No interest in Carroll. Mm. One team kind of interest. Really just Arthur Blank interest. No other team really wanted him. You go back years ago, Andy Reid, he was a lot younger, but Andy Reid had, a four-win season with Philadelphia?
Yep.
Immediately scooped up by Philly.
Mm-hmm. By KC.
KC, yeah. From Philly to KC. We've seen plenty of guys immediately get scooped up. Jim freaking Montgomery, and that's a different sport, but he was a candidate for 3 days.
That's a great point.
And got a job.
Jim Montgomery was a hotter coaching candidate than Bill.
Football
he was
is,
still employed and got a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Football is different in that, but... Clearly, guys, they want something new, it seems like. Teams don't want to miss out on the next Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan, even though maybe the arrow's pointing down on him. But still, like, people don't want to miss out on that.
No, and it's interesting. Saban got out of the game because of NIL and all this. Pete Carroll, has been away from it for a long period of time. But, I could see Pete going back to college way before Bill was ever interested in that.
Yeah.
You would have thought it was beneath Bill Belichick. So... I just don't think it would work either. Like playing it out at the University of North Carolina, I don't think it's going to work because it is all about paying kids and it's effectively free agency now in recruiting kids. It's no longer go into the living room and sell them on the school and the program. It's here's what I'm paying you. I can make it worth it to you. And I just don't see Bill outflanking people on five-star recruits. I know he would do that periodically. Stephon Gilmore. And you want to go way back, Roosevelt Colvin. He made a splash on Darrell Revis. And even 2021 was an example of a year where Bill would pay up. But largely he didn't do that. Largely it was, hey, here's what we're doing. I'm capping it on this player. I'm capping it on that player. And there's way more competition in college than there is even in the NFL where there's a salary cap. It's the wild, wild west. Alabama can spend whatever they want every single year.
But you can
and
also...
And you got to compete with that.
I think he'd be fine. Because I don't think he...
Fine, maybe. But not. It's not... going to work out like he's all of a sudden competing for even the college football playoff, never mind national championships.
See, I think he has a chance. I mean, you saw the ACC is not great. Clemson SMU was the conference championship game this year. Florida State blows. Clemson is even kind of on the downswing mm-hmm. compared to where they were, right? Mm-hmm. And if you look at their so they went 6-6 this year. They lost to James Madison, Duke, Pitt, Georgia Tech. They lost to BC. They lost to NC State. Even if Bill flips half those games, all of a sudden they're 9-3. Just from even if it's the roster they have there, and they say he doesn't get a single recruit based off of his pedigree, I think he's a better coach than Mac Brown, and I think he can win a few more games.
Brown won a national title.
He did. Yeah, Vince Young. It helps.
I agree.
Yeah.
Bill's going to need players.
Yeah, and I think it's easier to get players at Texas and North Carolina. But my point is, I just think he can coach like in the ACC. I think he'd be one of the best coaches right away. And maybe you win some of those close games.
So would it work? Number one, 617-779-7937. It sounds like Bill wants the job. If you believe some of the reporting out there, the ball is now in UNC's court to meet all of Bill's demands. Would it work if he goes to North Carolina? And furthermore, why isn't the NFL calling? why is the NFL holding up? And maybe these demands at North Carolina tell you a little about it, Keith. Maybe he hasn't checked his ego at the door, and he's still asking for far too much in the NFL because he still thinks he's Bill Belichick, eight-time Super Bowl champion on top of his game. And instead, he's just a 72-year-old guy who the game passed by, who's been out of the league for a year, made a bunch of personnel missteps, and has won nothing in his life without Tom Brady. Maybe that's how the league views him these days. I wouldn't blame him if they do. 617-779-7937. The other story going on today, and we'll ask Curran about this as well coming up. Greg Bedard says Mayo should be coaching for his job down the stretch.
Yeah.
Here's what he wrote, and it's tucked midway down in the story, which tells me he's not overly confident in
the
reporting
here. There's also a big caveat on it, but go read it.
It's wishy-washy, and it's midway through the story, but whatever, it's juicy, let's go with it. And I want to believe it. According to multiple sources, writes Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, if Kraft comes to the realization he made the wrong choice with Mayo, if he comes to that realization, he wouldn't hesitate to rectify the situation.
All right, so if he changes his mind, like that's like a big if.
If he acknowledges he was wrong, that is a big thing to admit.
If he thinks he's the wrong guy, then he would get rid of him. But like,
and what is it? Doesn't say fire; it says rectify. So what does that even mean? He'd add help on Mayo's staff, or would he actually fire him? What does that even mean?
Good point. You don't know if they just go the Eagles route, where they give him two new coordinators and they stick by the head coach.
Yeah, the Eagles rectified the situation. Yeah. They gave Sirianni a lot of help. They didn't fire him. They rectify.
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways, I guess, you can do that. It's kind of like,
It should be. Kraft admits he made a mistake by comparing the hiring of Jerod Mayo
to marrying
his wives.
I don't think he will do.
If he's willing to go all the way there, then he wouldn't hesitate to rectify.
The whole thing is hesitation.
It is a bit, it's a bit wishy-washy.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening.
But I hope Bedard's right, because it should be that. You should be evaluating his job in this final month. Beyond just wins and losses, those are important. Those are very important. But how does the whole thing look? It's looked terrible this year. Some would say it's been a disaster.
Some would say the whole thing has been a disaster.
So,
but honestly,
I hope that's how he's looking at it, meaning Kraft.
Yeah, he should. I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that he will. I think he might, even if he's the only guy in all of New England that feels like he can coach out of this and be a better coach next year, then he'll keep them. Everybody else will be screaming about it. Again, I just want to point this out, too, because there's a lot of, hey, guys, Dan Campbell was really bad his first year, and look what happened.
Yep.
Dan Campbell only won 3 games his first year, but those games came in the last 6. So, yeah, they went 3-13 or whatever the hell the record was, but they showed a little something. They went on the upswing. Right. Like, wins and losses matter. So, right now,
if Mayo goes 2-2 in the final month, you'd be like,
different
story. Arrow up. Yeah.
More games than last year, trending in the right direction. They're currently on a 3-game skid. So, if they lose out, that is the polar opposite of Dan Campbell.
Correct.
That is 0-7 and finishing with fewer losses than a year ago. That would be the only way that maybe, I guess, it would get through to Kraft. I'd still bet against it. But if Kraft sits there at the end, and we already heard Mayo tell Curran that, yeah, he talks after every game, or he asks me questions every game about every single, like, all the decisions that we make during the games, I'm sure he's not going to love all the answers. And then he's going to say, man, we got rid of Bill Belichick after 20 years, and we got rid of Mac Jones, and you won less games than a year ago? Like, that's going to be hard to answer.
I want to get to this with Tommy Curran coming up. Curran, I thought it was very noteworthy last week, said Wolf is safer than Mayo. No one's getting fired. But he has Wolf safer than Mayo in his power rankings, his Mount Rushmore of fireable candidates here in New England. Wolf safer than Mayo. Let's ask him what he's hearing on Jerod Mayo. Let's ask him about a sit-down with Jerod Mayo and, you know, the debriefing that the Crafts do after each and every game. We can also ask him about Bill Belichick and his future at the University of North Carolina.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of Season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I'm not going to get into all of that stuff. Look, here I go again, dancing a little bit. But look, my focus is on the guys in this room, the coaches on this staff, and winning this game that we have coming up.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll talk to Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday momentarily. Get the latest on Jerod Mayo and whether or not he's coaching for his job. Greg Bedard seems to think that he is over the final month of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that if Robert Kraft is willing to admit his giant mistake, then he wouldn't hesitate to rectify the situation. We talked about that early in the show. We were talking about that earlier this hour. We also got into Bill Belichick earlier this hour and earlier in the program, and whether or not he could land at the University of North Carolina, why the phone isn't ringing from the NFL, and whether or not it would work for Bill at UNC. We'll get to all that with Tommy Curran coming up. We also tiered off our teams in the NFL. I mentioned K.J. Osborne cut. Mutual decision.
Oh, mutual. He latches on with the team? Like happy an active roster?
Happy they held on to him for the last few weeks. An active roster? No.
Yeah. He's
got
signs of the practice squad, then wait for an injury, and then maybe play in a game.
Practice squad on a winning team written all over it.
Yeah, that was a rough go. 14 weeks to get down to five receivers, though. That's not bad.
That's true.
They finally found their guys.
Good point.
They finally got the guys they can rely on.
They finally leaned in. That is true. While we're waiting for Curran, might as well get this in as well. It's the waiver wire in a lot of leagues out
there.
Sure
is.
Brought to you by Cars for Kids. Easiest way to get rid of your old car. You could donate today. Your car will be picked up tomorrow. Donate now. Carsforkids.com. That is Cars with a K. Isaac Guendo, we recommended him last week. I know he's dealing with a foot injury.
It's touchdowns.
A quick turnaround against the Rams on Thursday Night Football. Make sure he's not available in your league. That's a guy to go get. You're in the fantasy playoffs. I'd imagine you're on top of it by now. But that's a guy to go get. I would also list off Jalen McMillan, wide receiver for the Bucs. He's a rookie. Two touchdowns last week. That's another one you can jump in on. I wonder again. I said I wonder if Curran's a little...
He's on to this?
I wonder if
plugged
he's on,
in?
I wonder if he's working the phones.
Possible down in North Carolina.
What do you think it's more likely he's chasing right now, Mayo or the Bill stuff?
I mean, they're both good. Like, if you're a Patriots guy, I would think both are pretty important.
Well, they are. Mayo should be pretty easy for him. Speed dial.
Yeah. Hey, Jerod, you good?
Like
we just did a public interview. They did that one.
That should be pretty easy.
Yeah, you should know that.
So
sniffing around on Bill.
Bill.
Yeah.
I wonder.
How much attention, if he goes to North Carolina next fall, how much attention do you think people will pay to it?
Here?
Yes. I feel like it might start out really interested, and then I'm curious if it fades.
Bill O'Brien?
This is 100 times that.
Yeah, but Bill O'Brien was also local.
Yeah, right, but Bill O'Brien was never the head coach here, and he certainly wasn't.
I know, but people care more, I think, here about BC than they do. Not they care a lot about BC, but they care more about than North Carolina.
But there are more Bill Belichick fans than there are BC fans.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, but I think it'd be similar, like a month, and then people will be like, okay, I got it.
Well, if you continue to win.
How much do they care about the McAfee stuff? I thought that was going to be like an all-year thing. That was like a couple of weeks, and then people are like, yeah, I got it. I mean, if Bill says something here and there, we react to it, but...
Yeah, but saying stuff is different than like if he starts 5-0 with North Carolina versus if he's like 0-5.
No. If he does a great job and it's a big story, well then we'll follow it.
Yeah.
But Bill O'Brien started okay. They lost a couple of games. We all forgot about it. We moved on with our lives.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be very, very similar with Bill. We care more about Bill Belichick.
What about Bill O'Brien versus Bill Belichick in the ACC? Then people would be fired up for that game.
Yeah, it's like page D in the Globe.
They might get around to it.
Yeah. No, it's in
cover
there.
That. Yeah.
It's in there, but it's not, you know.
Could be a good game.
A big talker, I wouldn't imagine. Big talker, though, is Tommy Curran every single week. He joins us here on Tommy Tuesdays. You can check out his work at NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by D'Angelo Sandwiches, New England Sandwich Shop, and our sandwich shop here every Tuesday on Jones and Keefe. I'm still working my way through the Italian that I got earlier today with all the...
I ate mine very quickly.
All the news of the day. I've been trying to catch up. Yeah, Keefe's... Chicken salad, long gone.
Smoked it.
It's brought to you by Flex Car. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at flexcar.com. And by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're hearing this, chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180. A once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop on the way home from work, minutes away from proven weekly weight loss at awaken180weightloss.com. Tommy Curran, how we do? What are we working the phones on Bill, on Mayo's future? What are we doing?
More more on the Bill stuff, but I'm actually playing in Quick Slants, doing a podcast with Phil. Have you seen the Oliver Connolly tweets from The Guardian?
Yes,
sure have.
We were reading those earlier. He's got a 400-page document that he's put in front of UNC. They're discussing whether or not they want him is what they're discussing on their end, but it sounds like he would commit to taking the job if they meet his demands. Let's start with that. What do you think of it?
I think it's probably a trial balloon. Here, I'm going to ask for the moon. I'm going to ask to run everything. I'm going to ask to have the Dean Dome turned into the Bill Belichick facility. And we'll see how that goes over. If they agree to it, great. If they don't, well, people know that I have a working document that I am going to be proposing around the league. Will people agree to this? Will teams want to hire me, whether it be pro or college? I find it really fascinating, all of it. And I just talked to Phil about this, and I know that other folks have said, well, that's a real come down to think of Bill going to college. It's kind of a disappointment. It's uninteresting. And maybe it is, but we're so Belichick-centric here because we've watched what might be the most compelling figure in NFL history, arguably. Most interesting, compelling, enigmatic figure in NFL history for 25 years that it's really fascinating to see what his next move will be.
You think it would work if he went to North Carolina? Do you think he'd be successful?
I think to an extent it would. I think it would be a blueprint for a way to bring teams into the next generation. It's the wild, wild west right now in colleges, we understand. And coaches don't have the level of security that one would think, and they certainly don't have the security of their own roster rolling over. Is there a way for Bill to craft and create something that brings more stability to programs and brings some order while also stabilizing the college game, which by extension improves the pro game? And I think that's one aspect of Bill that we all have to bear in mind is he is a guy who does respect the notion of service and giving back and the fact that football itself has given him an extreme amount. And he would acknowledge that and his family and his dad, and he would want to give back. So I do think that there is probably certainly a level of his heart's in the right place with it, but he also covets power.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
So you mentioned, Tom, that this is a way to get out that, I have a 400-page manifesto, a document that I can tailor make to your organization on how I want to do things. Your pal there, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, said Bill is very surprised. He hasn't heard from NFL teams. Why does he need to use UNC to get this out there when he's been in the media all year long, a known coaching candidate all year long? Why aren't NFL teams lining up?
Because they haven't had an understanding, perhaps, of his true vision. And this gives him this, whoever wants to download the document can see what he proposes as opposed to what you've seen on the Pat McAfee show or inside the NFL or anyplace else. What does Bill really believe in? What would Bill like to do? He'll tailor it to your team out there in Chicago or down there in Jacksonville. These are the things that Bill will prioritize. These are the people he'll want to put in place. So to me, the most recent offering that Bill has given anybody in the NFL relative to what he would do for a team is what he did in the last five seasons in New England after Tom left. And that's certainly not something that teams are lining up to sign up for, especially when the individual 73 and his best years as a coach and team manager are probably behind him. So he's got to do something. And I think it's ingenious. And I give the guy credit at 73 for having the energy and interest in doing this. A lot of it. I mean, not being a smartass, it's he's an impressive, remarkable person. So I think that's why he's probably doing it, Adam. Is look, I got bigfooted by the owner's son, and that's what's going on all over the NFL. So you know, you just leave me in charge, and I'll be fine.
Yeah, what do you think is working against him the most when it comes to, you know, NFL teams' interest? Is it just age? Is it the record without Tom Brady? Is it the demand for so much control and bringing in like all his own guys? Like, it seems like each one on its own is a bit of a red flag. And then as great as that coach as he is, you add them all together and you say, maybe I'll go in a different direction.
I think it's all of them because you can certainly look at track record – recent track record, because look, did Torrey Holt and Reggie Wayne get high-end NFL wide receiver contracts when they came to New England based upon their recent resume? No, they didn't, because they hadn't performed at that level. Should Bill be given that kind of latitude wherever he goes? Mm-hmm. Or should he get a Torrey Holt, Reggie Wayne, prove it to me kind of contract? Probably that. So, you know, I think that the resume is where you start, but then teams want to have somebody that they can have usher them through the end of the decade. And is Bill going to be able to do that at the age of 79, which is what he would be, I think, mathematically, at the end of the decade, or 78? You know, you're going to bring in players that you want to have with the organization for a minimum of 5 years if it's a rookie first-round quarterback, and he's just going to be there until, you know, 2029, 2030. So those two things are combined, and then I think people are protective of their jobs, and Bill might be a hanging judge. We got to get rid of that guy, and that guy, because I don't think that they do anything, and whatever they do doesn't look good to me.
No game this week, so that's Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game, presented by FlexCar.
Thank you.
And save thousands with FlexCar. Tom, on Jerod Mayo, Greg Bedard seems to think he's coaching for his job down the stretch. He said that if Robert Kraft decides he's made a mistake, he wouldn't hesitate to rectify the situation. Do you see it that way? Is Jerod Mayo coaching for his job?
No, I don't think he's coaching for his job. I think that you would be coaching for your job if your record mattered. I think everybody's coaching for their job to an extent at all times. I guess define it. If coaching for his job means he's got to go 2-2, no, I don't think that. If coaching for his job means the team can't descend into some level of bizarre disarray and discipline issues, lack of effort, and, you know, just game mismanagement are clear and obvious, then yeah. So I would say stay away from those things, and he's going to be back. So I don't think, you know, coaching for his job is when I perceive that to be, you have to win this number of games, you're out. Don't you?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's win total as much as, like, no, to your point about, like, if it falls apart, you're coaching for your job is... Like,
yeah, but generally speaking, when you say somebody's coaching for his job, that means there's
it's
an
about
ultimate
win,
end
it's
goal.
It's about wins
success.
And losses. Yeah, maybe that's the implication. They already feel like they're in disarray with all that other stuff, yeah, so he's got to avoid it in the final month, I guess, is fair.
And that's why, you know, when I was on Thursday with the other fellas there...
Heart knock hands.
My God. How old am I?
W-E-E-I afternoons.
That's right. Yes.
But I was on Thursday, you know, talking to those guys, and they asked me what I thought of Mayo's tenor in the interview that I did with him. I said cautious. He's become very cautious in the way he talks. I think he's cautious in the way that the team performs. I think that he is kind of just trying to get to the end of the year. Let me get to the end of the year. Let me get to next year. It's going to be better. Mm-hmm. I've said this a couple times now. It's like a breakfast ball. The whole season's been like a breakfast ball. It's a mulligan. We'll get the next drive. I know. I got to put it in bounds. I'm going to put it in bounds right down the middle. Don't worry. Yeah. But this one, yeah, that went into the range, I think.
Yep, I think so. Speaking of going into the range, I was going to say KJ Osborne has been released. And Elliot Wolf, I mean, he drafted Drake May, number 3 overall, but I think most people would have done the same. He did trade Matt Judon and got something for him before it looked like his career sort of kind of washed up a little bit on him. But other than that, I mean, a lot of swings and misses in year one for Elliot Wolf.
The Chukwuma was had to be the reigning winner.
Yeah.
And then the statements about, I don't understand what you people are talking about. Do we have enough talent to support a quarterback? It's been a disaster. And, you know, for all the time that is one thing that's really interesting about this. As Mayo stands out there and takes the slings and arrows on a regular basis, where's Elliot Wolf? Where's Robert? Where's Jonathan? Where's anybody? The guy is getting pinata'd on a regular basis. And you just don't have an opportunity to hear from anyone else except the guy who's like, please, I just don't want to say anything to get myself in trouble. Get me to January 6th.
Yep.
If. Nope. You can't even say January 6th. There's so many, so many things you can't say anymore.
Yeah, dump that, Nick.
No, yeah. Sure. Yeah, dump it.
So is that about January 6th?
So that's his frustration? He's frustrated they're not talking?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay. You know, but I don't think you did. I'm curious if that's something. I would be frustrated with that if I were him. I don't disagree. I'd love to hear from the Crafts. I'd love to hear from Elliot Wolf. Yeah, yeah, no, I would. So maybe we'll get that in due time. He's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. You can check out his work there. You can check him out tonight on Quickslant. Sounds like a good detailed prep going on there with him and Phil Perry tonight. Plus on WEEI Afternoons with Arcan and Hart on Thursday. Tom E. Curran, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much.
All right. That was fun. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
Tommy Curran, as all our guests, joins us here on a Tommy Tuesday on WEEI. I would be frustrated about that, too, if I were him.
Especially because Elliot Wolf was so bad in the preseason every time he spoke. Yeah. And a lot of times he spoke very differently than Mayo.
Yeah.
And now it's only been Mayo every week, multiple times every week getting smoked. And Elliot Wolf has been a ghost. We haven't seen him at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the job. Like, when you are the outward-facing portion of the organization, so I guess I would understand Mayo being frustrated
but
with
when that. When it's this bad, and when you have a player just walk away from the team, and then when you have to cut Tyquan Thornton, who was a second-round pick, you cut K.J. Osborne, you cut even Jalen Reagor, like, you have made roster moves along the way. So it's not like I don't need Elliot Wolf's breakdown every week of how the team played on Sunday, but maybe mix in sort of, you know, how you've let the roster get this way.
No, it's fair. And again, I'd like some transparency from ownership and Wolf certainly come the offseason. But in the meantime, is Mayo coaching for his job? Is Bill Belichick going to take the job at UNC, or will they actually offer it to him? We can get to all that. Plus, it's a Tuesday, Tier Tuesday, Tommy Tuesday, D'Angelo's Tuesday. It also means it's Kiefer Madness, and it's next.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness!
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
Best gag is you're going to get around here.
Hot wieners anywhere.
Three all the way.
Cheeseburger Club.
All right, here we go. Time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And this might be a first, Jones. I don't recall ever going to Alaska for a story.
Really?
I don't believe so. I mean, we've done a lot of Mad and I over the years, but I don't recall many, if any, from the great state of Alaska. You ever been to Alaska?
I have not.
You never covered the Great Alaska Shootout?
I have not.
That'd probably be the only reason to go.
Yeah.
Although the last season of True Detective took place in Alaska.
That's true.
It's dark a lot. Where's dark the sun? Where's the sun?
Dark quite often.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Glenn Rice and Sarah Palin in the Great Alaska Shootout.
Nice.
I did not have that experience. No, no.
Neither did I. But no. We have a different tale to tell. And let's go to the Alaska news team. This is quite a squad they assembled here.
A dispute between two brothers Wednesday night ended with alleged animal cruelty.
All right, so two brothers, and there's alleged animal cruelty,
okay,
which obviously I'm not a fan of.
No.
I don't stand for it. There was two brothers, though, and they got into an argument. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the news story doesn't say what the argument was about,
okay,
but it is in the write-up that I read. So why don't you guys all take a guess as to what these two brothers got into an argument over?
It's an animal. I don't know what kind of animal. Were they a cleanup after the dog sort
smart
of thing? Like,
dog,
you got the dog
all over the floor. This is my floor.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Thank you. That sort of thing.
Mess.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
A dog mess.
Yeah. How's that?
All right. Bill, you got a stab here.
You ate the food that was labeled with my name.
That's a good one, too.
Good one.
Ate my food. You ate my D'Angelo sub. Now I'm going to sock you right in the face.
Yeah, yeah.
Nick, you got a guess?
Well, now I'm just picturing the people yelling about the Wizard of Oz a couple
It's
years
not
ago.
Those guys. It was not the Wicked Witch of the East, bro. It was not those guys. They got into an argument over anime.
Hold on. This is your favorite. Hold on. Her sister was a witch.
It's not
right?
These guys.
And what was her sister? A princess. The Wicked Witch of the East, bro.
It was not those guys. It was two Alaskans.
OK. kind of similar, though.
Very similar.
Yeah.
I don't even know specifically what it was about. We could bring in Chris Scheimer, anime expert. Maybe he could say what people are fighting over right now about anime. But
yeah, what's controversial in the anime
maybe
streets.
One character is greater than the other. One yeah. show, one. I don't know.
Grow up, bro. Grow up.
Get it.
Unfortunately, now those guys did not. There's no animal cruelty involved with those
no,
two.
No.
The Wicked Witch of the Eastboro guys. But unfortunately, this story does have a little bit.
Dispute between two brothers Wednesday night ended with alleged animal cruelty and a missing crocodile. Olivia.
Oh.
Classic Alaskan animal, the crocodile.
Yeah.
So we now
native
have a
to Alaska.
Correct.
Yeah.
Crocodile now on the land.
Swims right across the Bering Strait there to Russia.
Crocodile's missing.
Very well known, yeah.
Crocodile tears. Missing.
And a missing crocodile. Olivia Nordyke joins us with more on the altercation between the siblings. Olivia?
Well, according to Alaska State Troopers, Ricky and Tyler Lowe had a physical altercation after a disagreement. Arrest papers say the brothers pushed each other before Tyler threw his brother's alligator outside.
Threw
so
it
they
outside.
Pushed each other, and then they're like, all right, well, this isn't getting the job done. I'm going to take your alligator and toss him outside.
Oh, you view it that way. I thought they were kind of like, hey, we're really
jostling over the alligator?
Really getting into it here. Let's take the alligator and...
No, I don't think it was to protect the alligator.
I don't want to get alligator. Shoved onto the alligator. No, you don't think so?
No, I think it was like, I'm going to get you.
Mm.
Basically, like, I'm going to take something of yours, and I'm going to hurt you this way.
Yeah.
Ricky responded, throwing Tyler's crocodile outside.
You heard that right. One of these guys has a crocodile. One of them has an alligator. So both got tossed out. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, that is the gentleman who threw the alligator.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
He's not a
stab. You're going to look at me and you're going to tell me that I'm wrong?
He's not
dead
an overly
eyes.
Big guy.
No, a little guy. Yeah. It's not a full-grown alligator.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not like a 6 foot, 8 foot.
It can't be.
6 to 7 foot premium. 7, 8 foot premium. It's not one of those.
You watch some people, those 10, 12-foot gators are
oh, there's huge gators. No,
monsters.
This wasn't the case. But no. I love how one brother's like the alligator guy and one brother's the crocodile guy. I do like that.
In official documents, troopers state Ricky Lowe placed the call after the altercation between the brothers and after he allegedly drove several miles away with his two-year-old son in the vehicle while intoxicated.
No, I don't like that.
Well,
I don't like that at all. So he's got an alligator, a crocodile, a two-year-old son. He's fighting over anime. Now he's driving around in Alaska.
Let's hear it out. Maybe he's got a good reason
no,
to shine.
I can't imagine. Yeah. I thought he went to London. You know, he's in Alaska fighting one of his brothers.
Troopers went to both brothers, Ricky miles away, and Tyler where their altercation began. After arriving, AST says they searched for the missing reptiles with Tyler Lowe. A nearby neighbor says he saw the authorities arrive, but wasn't expecting the reason why.
Let's hear from one of the neighbors.
Oh,
let's
good.
Hear from the Alaska neighbor. This guy, we got boots on the ground
good.
Here.
Good, good, good.
And they go, have you seen an alligator run past here? And I go, you guys are kidding, right? There was no, I'm a state trooper. I wouldn't kid about something like that.
I'm a state trooper. I wouldn't kid about something
I'm
like that.
I'm a serious man.
I'm a serious. I do serious business.
I'm not here to make alligator jokes.
Did you see an alligator run by?
Yeah.
Is what he asked him.
Yeah. He's like, it's Alaska, sir.
No, I believe I have not seen him. There's the other brother on Twitch and YouTube now.
That looks right.
Yep. Checks out. You'd only need four or five guesses to figure out what he's in for.
After searching the area, Ricky's alligator was located, but Tyler's crocodile remains at large.
All right, so we got an alligator in custody. We have a crocodile at
large. Yeah.
So still, if you're in Alaska, you listening on the Odyssey app, keep your eyes peeled for one alligator. Nice job, Brian. There's the classic difference there, side by side. Crocodile got a much longer snout.
Oh, yeah.
Much more narrow snout.
Right out of the picture.
Alligator's got a big blockhead. Alligator more your Ernie, crocodile more your Bert.
Oh.
That's how I would look at
it. Good way
that.
Of putting it, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Both can be vicious creatures. Not made for Alaska, by the way.
Local expert and nonprofit reptile rescue operator Jonathan Campbell says all hope is not lost.
It is possible in some cases for a cold-blooded animal that has endured colder temperatures to be warmed up and be okay, maybe with some health defects.
But the reptile...
With some what?
I didn't get that either.
What do they get? Warm up with what?
Be okay. Maybe with some health defects.
Health defects.
Oh, health defects.
Yeah.
So this story's no joke. So they got a neighbor witness. They went out a reptile expert. They got her on Zoom breaking this down.
Yep.
They got photos of these guys in lockup. Like, they did a good job on this.
Alaska news team is not.
They kind of, yeah.
They nailed it. Leading the news that night, I'd imagine. They're not going to joke around about this.
But the reptiles' lives were in danger and still could be.
I would venture to say that it is unfortunate that of the two species, it is the crocodile that was not located, because it does have a more slim chance of survival than the alligator would in temperatures like this.
I think that's a joke about the snout. The snout is slimmer.
Could
so
be.
His chances of survival perhaps slimmer.
Could be. So the alligator's got a better chance of...
Yeah, because of the blood.
Making it in Alaska. Okay.
Alligator blood.
Interesting.
In arrest papers, troopers said they looked as much as they were able in the surrounding area.
we can't find it. we looked as much as we could. Yeah, you guys see it? No.
Nah, all right, snowmobile's out of gas. Gotta come back.
All right. Let's go home.
Not gonna make it.
It's getting dark. Like, it's always dark.
Yeah.
So we are in Alaska. It's going to be dark for about 30 days.
Yeah.
Probably should head home.
We'll look then.
You guys see the alligator? No.